Grim discovery at a downtown LA hotel. Police say the body found in a hotel water tank is that of a 21-year-old Canadian tourist, Elisa Lam. KTLA's Eric Spillman joins us live now from downtown LA with the latest on her mysterious death. Good morning.
Hi, Megan. I just got off the phone with the coroner's office, and they're talking about performing an autopsy on the body, perhaps as soon as tomorrow. The cause of death is going to be an important piece of the puzzle here. What a bizarre discovery it was yesterday. Let me show you some pictures of firefighters on the roof here of the Cecil Hotel. The body was found in a large water tank on the rooftop. People staying at the hotel complained of low water pressure, so a maintenance worker went up to check. He found the naked body of a woman in her 20s at the bottom of one of the tanks. Firefighters had to use a saw to cut a hole in the tank, drain the water out, and remove the body. Now, they've identified her as 21-year-old Elisa Lam. She's from Vancouver, Canada, was last seen at the Cecil on January the 31st.
What's up, guys? It's your girl Ginger, the true crime queen. I'm reminding you now that listener discretion is advised. The dark nature of the show is not suitable for little ears or those that are sensitive to graphic material. But without further ado, let's get it. Hi, you guys. Sticking along with the holiday spirit and continuing on with another true crime story with a hint of spooky to it. This is probably the most popular case during the Halloween season. The very peculiar case of Elisa Lam. She was a 21-year-old Canadian who decided to take a break from school and travel down the West Coast. Her adventure was cut short when she mysteriously ended up in her hotel's rooftop water tanks that overlook the beautiful city of Los Angeles. Heads up for a little bit of talk about ghosts or possession, because I know that not every true crime addict is into that stuff. So if ghosts trigger you at all, then here's your warning, because we're going to be talking about all the options of what could have happened, not just, you know, the reasonable ones today. Also, I'll be discussing her autopsy results, which are a little cringy, but I'll still give a heads up when we get there. Jumping right into the story with her background, Elisa Lam, who was also known by her Cantonese name of Lam Ho Yi, was born on April 30th of 1991 in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Her parents, David and Yina, were actually immigrants from Hong Kong and ended up running a family-owned business they called Paul's. It was located in Barnaby, Canada, just outside of the Vancouver area. Elisa was raised along with one sister named Sarah, and they were said to have been very close. Elisa seemed like a very friendly, vibrant girl who was really just probably finding herself and who she wanted to be. Elisa had begun attending classes at the University of British Columbia on the western side of Canada there. In 2010, at age 19, she began blogging on social media, more or less like Reddit, but she was known to have bipolar disorder and even talked about her mental health issues. Being pretty open and honest about her struggles, along with her interests in fashion, existentialism, and life in college. She had admitted on her blog that she struggled with motivation occasionally and that she sort of fell behind in school because of it. There's not much talk of past boyfriends or relationships that I saw. So in January of 2013, just after the new year, Elisa took the semester off from school and decided to hit the road and see some of the American sights all by her damn self. Honestly, that impresses the shit out of me because I wouldn't be able to do that alone. She traveled by both bus and train as means of transportation, so she had the entire trip planned out step by step, her main destination being the state of California, and a few different places in SoCal. We know Elisa first stopped in the San Diego area on January 26th. We know she spent a day at the San Diego Zoo because she even posted some pictures on her social media to share with friends. She then traveled a couple hours down to Los Angeles and checked into the infamous Cecil Hotel on January 28th. This was 2013. She had initially agreed to stay in a shared room on the hotel's fifth floor, but it would later come out after the investigation that the people whom she was sharing the room with had apparently complained to the hotel management about Elisa's odd behavior, and she was subsequently moved to her own personal room on January 30th. But I'm not actually sure what floor she was moved to at that point. What exactly those complaints were from the people who were sharing the room with Elisa have never specifically been stated, It's only been described that Elisa was exhibiting, quote-unquote, certain behaviors, which apparently made the other guests feel uncomfortable. It still sort of bothers me that they won't just spill the fucking beans, though, because this is half the reason why this case has so many unknowns, because just, you know, a tiny little detail like this would really help us answer some questions that we're left with by the end of the case. The Cecil Hotel itself has a very dark and negative reputation attached to it, simply because of all the known deaths and or suicides that have been known to happen at this hotel. There's also a very long guest list of fucked up people like serial killers who have been known to stay at this same hotel, considering it was built in the 1920s and it still stands. It's actually located just a couple blocks from LA's like Skid Row area, where you can find a lot of people suffering from homelessness and drug addiction. Every city has an area like that. The hotel has rebranded now as the Stay on Main, but overall, it's not the place you really want to stay unless you're ghost hunting, looking to commit suicide, or you aren't from this country and maybe you don't know the hotel's macabre history. Or you're like my husband and you're not into true crime or spooky shit either. With his luck, he'd find like a great deal at the Cecil Hotel and end up in the most haunted room because he just didn't know any better. Elisa was scheduled to leave the Cecil Hotel at about 11 a.m. on January 31st of 2013. She spent 2 days in one room, 1.5 days in the other. It was just a quick 3-day stay. Her next travel destination was said to be Santa Cruz, according to her family, but when Elisa didn't call and do her daily check-in with them on the 31st, they knew something was wrong. Almost immediately, they notified the authorities at the Los Angeles Police Department and made arrangements to travel down to help the search for their daughter. Police were actually able to find a nearby local bookstore owner who remembered Elisa coming in and purchasing some items to take back to her family. The lady at the bookstore, and the bookstore was creepily named The Last Bookstore, but she mentioned that Elisa was very friendly, she seemed upbeat, and was even worried that she wouldn't be able to carry all of the items that she wanted to get around with her for the rest of the trip. It didn't seem to this woman as if Elisa was planning to commit suicide. Those at work at the Cecil Hotel claim they remember seeing Elisa and that she didn't seem to be traveling with anyone or even really hanging out with anyone while she was there at the hotel. So after finding only a couple people that actually came in contact with Elisa, police then brought search dogs into the hotel and they were allowed to walk around the halls and any rooms that they had probable cause to search, which did not include many of the rooms that were being rented out to other hotel guests. If there wasn't some kind of indication that a guest was involved in her disappearance, then their room wasn't legally able to be searched, technically. Which also leaves another set of various unknowns when it comes to figuring out what exactly happened here. However, they did reportedly get a signal that one of the dogs that was brought in found Elisa's scent near a window that led to a fire escape. Upon searching the roof, the dog wasn't able to pick up the scent again. By February 6th of 2013, hundreds of missing persons flyers and posts with her pictures were quickly circulated throughout the area as well as all over social media. But by February 14th, with no more answers than they really started with, the Los Angeles Police Department then decided to release the hotel security footage that apparently showed the last time Elisa Lam had been seen alive. And this footage was said to be recorded on February 1st at 2 in the morning, which was actually 12 hours after Elisa was already scheduled to have checked out of this hotel. You guys, this security footage went completely viral, almost overnight, because of how odd Elisa seemed to be acting in it. Of course, I'll share it in the sources too, but Elisa is seen entering one of the hotel's elevators. She posts up next to the control panel, and it would seem as though she actually leaned down and pushed multiple floors instead of just her own. At this point, the elevator doors are not closing as usual, and Elisa is seen leaning out of the doorway to see if maybe someone is standing near the door, causing it not to close. She then walks back out of the elevator, and it sort of looks like she's talking to someone, but there's no one else in the view of the camera, at least. While standing outside of the elevator, Elisa is seen moving her arms back and forth as if she's trying to get the elevator door to react to her, like, movement, perhaps because it's, you know, still not closing. Then she steps back on the elevator and tries to hit the buttons again, pushing what seems like almost literally every button on the control panel. The door is still not closing for her, so she then stands and waits for a minute or two, and we can see her put her hands on her head. She'll cross her arms. She'll sometimes wave her hands around. Next, she finally exits the elevator back into the hallway and leaves to the left of the screen by the time the elevator door actually shuts. The timestamp on the video is super grainy, so it's really hard to tell how much time actually elapsed or what the time even was, really. There's a lot of speculation that the footage has actually been altered in some way, possibly with up to a minute of video being removed, with the rest of the footage either being slowed or sped up to make up the difference for the time that was removed. There's also some debate as to whether or not we could even be positive that that was actually Elisa, simply because the footage is so grainy, but the clothes that were found with her body are the clothes that she is seen wearing in the video. But it would almost seem like there's some force at work here with how much is left to the unknown. But that wasn't before people working the front desk of the Cecil Hotel started getting complaints from the others staying at the hotel that their water pressure was really low. Some people's water started to come out of their faucets all sticky and black before transitioning into a more like water substance. Other guests even complained that the water had a funny taste.
It tasted horrible. It had very funny, sweety, disgusting taste. It's very, very strange taste. I can't barely describe it.
Michael and Sabina Baugh, tourists from the UK, never imagined the source of that indescribable taste and that it would trace back to 21-year-old Elisa Lamb.
Most of you can probably tell where I'm going to go with this, but surprise, surprise, on February 19th, when the maintenance workers go up on the top of the hotel to check what's going on with the water tanks that supply all the rooms, they find one of the four hatch tank doors open and then find the naked body of 21-year-old Elisa Lamb floating face up at the very top of one of these four individual 1,000-gallon water tanks. She was actually in the back corner tank, which from looking at the pictures seems like it would have actually been the hardest one to get to. Also, she had been missing for a total of 18 days in that water, you guys. It was actually quite the process to remove Elisa's body from the tank, being that they weren't going to be able to just pull her out of the top hatch without possibly contaminating the scene or even the condition of her body. Given the circumstances, it's very important that her body isn't subjected to any additional trauma when it comes to trying to identify what might have happened to her. So a small team of firefighters was actually brought in to cut the side of the tank, drain it, and then safely remove her body. Like I said before, the same clothes she was wearing in the security videos were also found at the bottom of the tank with bits of sediment or sand-like material that had accumulated on the top of her clothing. They also found her hotel room key card and her watch. Very interestingly though, her phone was never found and was assumed to have been stolen at some point. Weirdly though, her Tumblr blog was actually updated since her death. It's been reasoned that she had pre-scheduled posts that Tumblr published for her. I'm not exactly sure when Tumblr implemented the scheduled posts because I don't use that platform, but if that's the case though, she had scheduled out posts to be published almost a full year after her death. Also, her Tumblr account is still up on the interwebs right now if you want to check it out. I'll leave the link in the episode sources, of course. It's crazy because there's a lot of random posts made after she died. Not personalized messages, but just memes and, you know, GIFs. By February 21st, with more toxicology reports being done, it was initially reported that Elisa's cause of death was an accidental drowning, citing her bipolar disorder as a, quote, significant factor in the circumstances. Now, this information might get a little bit more graphic, especially because I'm going to cover the autopsy findings. So if you can't stomach this info, I would skip ahead like 1 or 2 minutes. The public would actually have to wait an entire 4 months after Elisa's body was recovered from the Cecil's water tanks for the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office to finally release the long-awaited autopsy report on Elisa's death. I'm not sure if people were expecting this or not, but they did find that the manner of death seemed to be accidental, as there was no physical trauma, no evidence of sexual assault, and not likely a suicide. Her skin was starting to separate from her body, and trace amounts of her prescribed medications were found in her blood, along with a small bit of alcohol. But the tests would also be considered incomplete, being that not enough blood was really even present at the time that she was found. A rape kit and fingernail clippings might or might not have been taken at this time of the autopsy, but those findings, if any, were never released to the public. Interestingly, too, it was found that Elisa's blood had pooled in her rectum area, which was also said to be prolapsed, simply could have been from her body's natural way of settling after death, just while being suspended in water for quite a long time. Now, I'm not familiar with the processes that happen after death, but I didn't think that prolapse was common, so I did find this kind of odd. What I wonder is if she was possibly near the tank's drain or like filtration system, which might have sucked her organs outside her body, which, you know, that happened at all the old kiddie pools all the time where children got stuck in a pool drain and it happens during the removal from the drain. It also seems as though that the medical examiners would be very hesitant in claiming that Elisa's death was accidental. There just simply wasn't enough evidence of foul play to say it was anything else. So police and doctors could determine how she died, but not exactly how she got in that position or why she got in that position. Access to these water tanks were supposedly very limited, being that there would have been multiple locked doors and security alarms in place had Elisa just walked up to the water tanks through the main doors. It's theorized that she may have bypassed these alarms and locked doors by climbing up the building's fire escape ladders that can take you to the top of the building once outside on the fire escape. The dogs that had been brought into the hotel previously were said to have been taken to the roof, but not near the actual water tanks, and they received no signals from the dogs while being up there at all. The tanks themselves were actually 4 feet wide by 8 feet tall, and they sat on a concrete block, which raised them even higher. So an additional ladder or staircase was needed to actually get up to the hatches on top of the tanks that would allow someone to slip inside one of them. By the time this information was coming out, a handful of guests at the hotel during the time Elisa's body was suspended in the water tanks had actually pushed for a class action lawsuit against the proprietors of the hotel, claiming that the hotel was supplying them with tainted water not fit for human consumption, which I totally agree with. At the time, the Los Angeles Health Department was notified after Elisa's corpse was found. The water inside the tanks was tested, and they allowed the hotel to continue staying open as long as they provided the current guests with bottled water and delivered official notices to not consume the hotel's tap water. Guests that had arrived after the body was found were forced to sign liability waivers in case they did happen to consume the water that made them ill. And by September, following Elisa's death, her family even filed a wrongful death suit against the hotel, stating that it had failed to inspect and seek out hazards that presented a reasonable risk of danger to Elisa or other guests at the hotel. This lawsuit was later dismissed by the courts in 2015. They could have never reasonably foreseen that Elisa or anyone else would ever end up in the tanks, and until it's proven how she got inside, the blame could not be put on the hotel. Which, that's true too. If someone can prove that someone working at the hotel put her in the water tanks, then yes, the hotel would be liable. But at this point, there's just so much stuff unknown that nothing can be done. Because Elisa's death has left us all with more questions than answers, her case has been the inspiration for many scary or true crime-based television shows and movies. Even the Cecil Hotel itself has been the subject of many horror or true crime-based programs. For example, it was the inspiration behind the hotel setting in American Horror Story's 5th season with Lady Gaga, and they simply called it Hotel. So I have 4 basic ideas of what might have actually happened here. Number 1, a guest at the hotel killed her, which I feel like is unlikely because it would have been extremely hard to carry someone's body up the fire escape, being that it's a ladder and the doors to the roof were supposedly locked with alarms. So the fire escape would really be the only way that a guest could have been able to get to the rooftop unseen. A man investigating Elisa Lam's death actually went and stayed at the hotel looking at the elevators and accessing the roof through the fire escape, all that shit, just to see exactly how hard this would have been. I believe the conclusion was that it would have been very, very difficult to carry a body up this ladder. Theory number 2 would be an employee of the hotel killed her. This theory is somewhat more probable given that this person would have access to the codes that might allow someone to the rooftop without having to use the fire escape, and also showing access to security footage that shows Elisa. Since Elisa's body doesn't show any physical trauma though, I would personally reason that this person would have had to just push or toss Elisa into the water tank hatch, knowing that she wouldn't be able to get out. And this means that they would have had to somehow get her and themselves onto the roof without being seen, somehow removed her clothes, and then pushed it all inside the tank. Unless the clothes came off during her efforts from trying to escape the hatch, which is also possible too. Theory number three would be suicide. Elisa might have actually accessed the roof herself or for whatever reason, removed her clothes, and slipped into the tank all on her own accord and was subsequently unable to get out and accidentally drowned. Now, this would be hard to explain mentally, given that I don't think Elisa thought that these water tanks were some type of weird pool, and she just accidentally put herself into, like, a death trap. I mean, she was a college student. She's not dumb. An accidental suicide might only be explained when we include the fact that she was known to have a few diagnosed conditions, such as bipolar disorder. Bipolar disorder itself wouldn't normally explain why an otherwise normal person would end up in a hotel's water tank, but the fact that she was prescribed at least 5 different drugs in regards to her mental health conditions, and it's somewhat unknown if she was taking her medicine as prescribed while on this trip. It's also possible that she removed her own clothes as a result of paradoxical undressing, which happens when you feel too hot, but you're actually freezing. So her behavior to most people wouldn't indicate that she was having a depressive onset based on like the descriptions of her at the bookstore. But we also have to keep in mind that some of the happiest people are actually very sad. For example, Robin Williams. It's hard to imagine that people who seem fine actually aren't. And this is why talking about your mental health should be normalized. Another weird offshoot theory here, which I'm not saying has any logical basis at all, but it's possible she was trying to replicate the 2005 movie Dark Water, where almost the legit same thing happens to a much younger girl, and they're almost wearing the same outfit, actually. I think it's probably unknown if Elisa had even seen this movie, or if it's all just a matter of coincidence. But even the little things were relatable, down to the fact that the little girl in the movie who died's name was Cecilia, and Elisa was staying at the Cecil Hotel. So it gives conspiracy theorists a lot to run with, honestly. Lastly, a lot of people, really, possibly including me, I'm still on the fence, actually, but a lot of people do like to blame the mysteriousness of the entire case on the fact that it's a pretty dark place with an even darker background, and possibly there's something more sinister at play here, maybe out of our realm of understanding. I've read theories that she was possibly possessed by one of the many negative entities that roam the hotel, and that proof of this would be on the elevator footage and why she isn't acting logically, or maybe why the people that she had to share a room with had complained about her behavior. I also went down a whole ass other rabbit hole of something called the elevator game. It's basically folklore similar to the old Bloody Mary three times in a mirror type shit. But how it works is that you find an elevator and you get on alone, and then you hit a particular sequence of buttons, taking you up and down many times. But if you do it successfully without interruption or someone else getting on the elevator in the meantime, it's said that you will actually be brought to a floor of the hotel that is a whole ass other dimension that you could just like walk around and look at stuff. The whole thing is fucking creepy as hell, and if you apparently don't follow the very specific set of rules to a T, then you could possibly end up stuck inside this other dimension forever, which people think is how Elisa's body ended up in the water tank, but possibly that her soul is stuck in this dimension still, adding to the fact that she was still able to post to her Tumblr, her phone wasn't ever found, and there was no other clear explanation of what might have happened to her. In reality, covering the entire case in this paranormal umbrella simply just allows us to reason away the things about her case that we and no one else have been able to explain. If you're not convinced that this place is haunted, let me just quickly inform you the extensive guest list to this hellhole. It's been the site of over 15 known deaths, this Cecil Hotel. Besides Elisa's death, Elizabeth Short, the woman who was also known as the Black Dahlia, was known to have stayed at the Cecil prior to her murder. The Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, also lived at the hotel, as it's also a place that you can pay to stay by the month as well. The infamous Austrian serial killer named Jack Utterweger was also known to have stayed at the Cecil Hotel. There are still a couple of unsolved murders, one being the unsolved murder of a local woman known by the people in the area because she liked to feed the pigeons in the Pershing Square. She was found dead at this hotel. Another peculiar death happened when a young woman who was committing suicide jumped from her 9th floor window and landed directly on top of another hotel guest, and it killed both of them instantly. So not only the people who like to kill are hanging out here, but people are getting murdered and people are jumping out of the building. I think it's safe to say that this doesn't have a whole lot of good energy. You know what I mean? Was Elisa spooked by something in the elevator and having a panic attack? Is that what we saw? Was she running from something we can't see on the screen and she reasoned it was safe in these tanks or something? It's really weird. There's lots of people that think she's clearly interacting with something or someone, but no one else is ever seen in the hotel footage frame. And honestly, ghosts can do some crazy shit after all. So what really happened to Elisa Lam, and why does she end up in those rooftop water tanks? I have no freaking idea. Logically speaking, I think her mental health truly is a big factor in the case. It's possible that Elisa was between manic and depressive states of mind. You know, she feels great one day and literally like crap the next, then back and forth and back and forth. Also though, I very much believe that the hotel she was staying at is haunted as fuck. And from what I believe in the paranormal world is that negative entities can and will attach to mentally unstable people. I would not fuck around at that hotel. I wouldn't even use the bathroom there, honestly, because I wouldn't want something dark to attach to me and follow me home. But for me personally, the paranormal answer to this case almost answers more questions than the logical explanation that she was just depressed. I mean, I don't know how much I actually believe in the elevator game theory there, but I sure as shit wouldn't play it at the Cecil Hotel. You know what I mean? That's for damn sure. I'm not sure if we will ever really get the answers to Elisa's case either, unless someone years down the road decides to come out and admit that some sort of foul play happened or a cover-up that might have happened. I highly doubt that though, since the hotel itself has since posted signs requesting that the people that stay there don't ask about the case and they would really just want the whole thing put to rest and behind them. I still wonder myself what happened to this poor girl. I think her story will probably be talked about every single Halloween for the next 50 years because the case is so creepy. So, definitely do yourself a favor, go and watch the security footage from the hotel of Elisa Lam and let me know your interpretation of her behavior. It's almost creepy to watch now that we know what happened to her just shortly after the footage was taken. Make sure to check back in 2 weeks for our next case, something that was voted for by those who checked out the Patreon page. If you know, then you know. But either way, trust when I say it's one of the weirdest cases I have covered yet. I have some quick shout-outs to Andy Flores, who is my newest patron. Thank you so much for your support. I also got some love on the Apple reviews from Nymad and Honey Sweet for leaving really dope reviews. And also Elise over at True Crime Cat Lawyer. She's a fellow Pacific Northwest podcaster, and she covers cases from a lawyer's perspective with her little kitty Winston. So be sure to give her podcast a try. It's called True Crime Cat Lawyer, available everywhere. As always, guys, be safe. Happy Halloween. Make sure you lock your fucking doors tonight, okay? And that was the tea. I hope you enjoyed my rendition of this spooky ass story, and if so, please tell all your creepy friends about it. You can find the sources I use for the episode in its description. You can find me slinging those memes on Instagram at True Crime Queen. Check them out if you need a laugh after all this dark shit. If you'd like to support the podcast, check out patreon.com/gingerthetruecrimequeen. All right, you guys. Bye.